Welcome to the Honor Pursuit Podcast, where we connect with entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, and business owners who've built amazing things on the pursuit of their goals and dreams. And I'm your host, Brendan Boyd.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the On the Pursuit Podcast. We interview 6, 7, 8, even 9-figure earners, tap them, figure out what are some of their stories that led them to be who they are today. What are some of the obstacles? And today is a great opportunity for you guys to meet an amazing entrepreneur and individual. Him and I had the opportunity to connect not too long ago in person at an amazing conference. Shout out to Jay Monopoly, Better Way 3. Mr. Kevin Jennings, welcome to the podcast, bro.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, man. So you go by Government Cheese.
Yeah.
Which is it's interesting, but it's also fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things that kind of rolls off your tongue, but it also reminds you back, like, you know, when I was in elementary school, you know what I'm saying? You used to get the Government Cheese and come with the lunch, you know what I'm saying? So let's why don't we just start off there? Let's kind of tap into, like, what's the origin of Government Cheese and how you got into government contracting?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm born and raised in Miami, right? Serial entrepreneur. I wanted to cast that I was selling candy and all of that at an early age. Like, I always knew, that's all I knew, was how to hustle, how to make money, right? And so played football, did all that. Went to college for business and actually got kicked out of business school because Dean told me I would never be a businessman, which later on I figured out what she meant by that. But right, so then I got into engineering, came back to Miami, started working construction while I was working on getting my engineering degree and trying to become a civil engineer. And then got introduced to real estate. So this was 2004. Got introduced to real estate and basically rode the real estate boom in the early 2000s, right?
Yeah, because it was popping off until about, what, like 08?
Yeah. And so I tell people all the time, I became a millionaire at 25 and I was bankrupt by 27. Because I literally rode that wave in 2004, 2005, and we were flipping houses like crazy, buying buildings, everything. Because back then, you had the no doc, the stated loans, 120% financing.
Yeah.
Like, it was a crazy time, especially here in South Florida. Because South Florida real estate's always been crazy. Well, during that time, it was like, it was just different.
Yeah.
And so I did all that. And then when the market crashed, 2007, 2008, I didn't know what I was going to do, right? So I got introduced to government contracting. When I started learning and understanding about government contracting, I was like, okay, this could be something for me. So my dad was in the military. Literally all of my family on my dad's side was all military people. And so when they all got out of the military, everybody basically became a government contractor of some sort. My dad, because he was so entrepreneurial, instead of like my uncles and my aunts who all went to work for like the KPMGs and the Booz Allens and Boeings, my dad went to work for Eastern and then he started his own aircraft mechanic shop on the side. And so that's how he got into government contracting, was he was working on military planes on the side in like the 80s and 90s. So he was one of the first ones that kind of had like ran it down to me and I saw what it was. So then in 2007, when real estate stuff was going down, I didn't know what I was going to do. And he was like, well, you should look at, you know, government contracting. It's something you could do. It's easy to get into. You can start building yourself back up. So that's what I started doing. Started doing commodities. So I started selling paper towels, toilet paper, stuff like that, to different agencies here locally in South Florida. And then from the commodities, got into the construction because I had the construction background from flipping properties. And then I started doing minor construction and then literally just built myself up. And so built it up to a point to about 2016, we had done almost $400 million in contract value. So like $350 million, I think is where we capped out at by like 2016. And then I sold one of my companies in 2017. So when I sold in 2017, I basically was like, all right, cool. I did it. And then 2019 is when I stopped working for the private equity firm that bought me. And then in 2020 is when we started Government Cheese.
What's up, y'all? Listen, if you are a business owner or entrepreneur and you juggling your email, your text messages, you don't have a CRM, you don't have any automation, you don't even have your social media post scheduled, I have the solution for you. What you want to do is tap into the lead attraction system. This is an all-in-one system that's going to handle your text messaging, your email, your CRM, your invoices, get you paid, your digital products, your memberships, your courses, your funnels, and also it's an all-in-one solution so you can get rid of all these other things
It's in one system. You pay one price every single month, and they also have a weekly office hours. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Tap into the platform and make sure that you grow your business. Lead Attraction System. Grab the link below. Let's go.
There could be people watching this, right? Or listening in real time, or you know, maybe you're watching a, you're watching a couple of months from now, whatever the case may be. But government contract being easy to get into, but can you actually explain it, right?
Yeah.
So let's get down to it. So I, you know, speak to me like I don't know nothing about it, right? So I assume that the government, they got a surplus of money, right? They have these jobs that need to be fulfilled, and they need people to fulfill them. That's kind of like what I gather.
Yeah. So in theory, that's exactly what it is, right? So the way I explain it to people, first I'll start by saying the United States government is the largest consumer of goods and services in the world. Okay.
I think people forget about that.
Yeah, they do.
It's just overlooked that.
The United States government is also a corporation, right? And so being as they're a corporation, they have employees and they have vendors. As a government contractor, all we are is a vendor to the United States government. Okay. People ask, well, why do they use contractors? Why don't they just hire employees for everything? One reason is liability. Another reason is profitability. It's more profitable for them to hire me as a contractor to do a job than it is to hire someone to do it. And then the other reason is accountability. So it's easier for them to help hold me accountable as a contractor, because if I don't meet the requirements, they can cancel my contract.
Yeah.
If they have an employee doing a job and the employee doesn't meet the requirements, they can't technically fire them all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why they hire contractors. Then when you get into what type of work can you perform? Literally everything. The government buys every good or service that you can think of, from like where I started, toilet paper, paper towels, all the way up to what most people think of when they think of government contractors, when they think of guns.
Yeah.
And Everybody equates it to like the movie War Dog.
War Dog, yeah.
So anytime somebody meets me and I say, I'm a government contractor, they're like, oh, like War Dogs.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you sell guns. I'm like, very similar to War Dogs, but I sell toilet paper.
Yeah.
So we both sell stuff to the
Army. Toilet dogs.
I'm a toilet dog.
TB dogs.
We both sell stuff to the Army.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't sell the guns. I sell the toilet paper.
I think TB might be more of a necessity than the guns for the people in the Army personnel.
People don't. The problem with government contracting, like I alluded to when I was on stage at the Better Way, what I do is not sexy.
Yeah.
And so because it's not sexy, nobody thinks about
it. Well, what you do gets the money.
Every day of the week, because what we do is essential.
Yeah.
So just like you said, guns are important.
But toilet paper a little bit more important than guns. Because
think about it. You go on any Army base, how many times you going to hear a gun fired throughout the course of the day versus how many times you going to hear a toilet flush?
Yeah. You're either going to bust your gun or you're going to bust your pants. But you can't bust your pants unless you got the TP. You're good. You know what I'm saying? I think if Army personnel had a choice, like, I'm going to take this gun to war, or I'm going to have this toilet paper once I need it, they might go for the toilet paper.
So in theory, like, that's government contract.
Yeah.
And it's literally as simple as toilet paper, or as complex as guns, or, you know, IT services, healthcare services. And now, in the age that we're in, digital services.
Bro, so anyone right now that has a business that's providing a product or service
can sell to the government.
They can also have a division where they are providing that product or service to the government.
Why would you not? That's my question to people.
Well, bro, I'm not. I didn't know about it. You tell me right now.
No, but every time I meet somebody and they be like, well, why would I do that? I'm like, why would you not do
that? I'm trying to get the money.
Like, why would you, as if you're doing B2B, right, or B2C, you can only get as much money from me as I have in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much I love your product, I don't have the money to buy it. Can't buy it.
Yeah.
When you're doing B2G, they make the money.
Yeah, facts.
So if they like your product, they'll just go print another $1 million to buy your product.
Is that crazy?
Right.
I mean, it's not crazy to you because you already know. But it's crazy to y'all that are listening to this for real.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, all I try to do, honestly, is I just try to enlighten people.
Okay. I got another question for you. So, you probably know this as well. It might be a little different in your business because you sounds like you have that part figured out. But entrepreneurs that are struggling with leads, you know, that find it hard to get in front of more people, that might be capped at a certain amount of money per month, could be 5K, could be 10, maybe 20K a month. They're just stuck there. Adding this to their business would solve that, I'm assuming.
100%. I haven't ran an ad for my business in 14 years. I've never run an ad. I don't market. I don't have a marketing budget.
Yeah.
I don't even, that was the problem when I started educating and getting into the online space. It's like, oh, you got to run ads. You got to. I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that. I've never done it. Why? Because my client finds me. I don't find my client. My client every year on October 1st of every year, my client gets $11 to $12 trillion deposited in their bank account that they have to spend by September 30th of the next year. So every year on October 1st, my client wakes up and they have $12 trillion and their biggest job is to figure out how to get that $12 trillion to zero by September 30th.
All right, man. So can we help some people?
We can definitely help.
On the podcast?
Yeah.
All right. So can you give us some steps from knowing nothing other than what we just learned in these first couple of minutes to how does someone put themselves in position and make themselves available to get their first payment from the government, from a government contract?
All right. So first thing that you got to do is, of course, you have to have some sort of business structure.
Okay.
What that business structure is doesn't matter, right? It can be LLC, S-Corp, C-Corp. You can even operate with the government as a sole proprietor.
Okay.
So if you decide that you don't want to spend the money incorporating, you can be a sole proprietor. Identify that business structure, get your either EIN or use your social security number and set up a business bank account, or if you're going to be a sole proprietor, a personal checking account. Then what you're going to do is you're going to go on SAM.gov. When you go on SAM.gov, you're going to register to do business with the federal government. You're going to input all of that information, your business name, your EIN. If you have a Dun & Bradstreet number, you can put that there. Not necessary, but I recommend people get a DMV number. And then you'll put your banking information in. That way they know how to pay you. Put all that information into SAM. You're going to get generated a UEI, which is unique entity identifier.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you're going to get what's called a CAGE code. Once you get your CAGE code, you're now able to do work with the government.
All right. How long does this first initial process take?
To be honest with you, to go through the initial sign-up process takes no more than 2 hours.
Wait.
It will take
2 hours?
It will take you no more than 2 hours to do the entire initial sign-up process. It will take about...
It takes longer to get Uber Eats.
Yeah, it does. It's sad. it'll take usually about 30 days for them to send you your CAGE code back.
Yeah.
Because they have to validate all your information. There's a lot of different nuances that we can't dive deep into today, but like... There's certain things like, for example, addresses, right? So it's better to do business out of your home than it is to do it out of a shared space like a Regis or a WeWork.
Yeah.
So it's like little things like that, that when you're inputting it, there are things that could make the process take a little bit longer. But typically, once you do that 2-hour registration, in about 30 days, you'll get your CAGE code. And then from there, you're ready to take off. Next thing you want to do after that is you want to get your certifications. Every person listening to this qualifies for some sort of certification. The one thing that everyone has to remember when we're dealing with the federal government is they do things for certification based on social economic disadvantage.
Okay. They do things based on social economic disadvantage.
Yes. Okay. So it's not race, right? And so a lot of times people hear, oh, minority business, and they automatically think black.
Yeah.
Or, but so the word minority means a lesser of a something. You know, you have a majority and a minority.
Yeah.
So the word minority literally means that you're in the lesser class of some sort. So they stopped even using that in the federal stuff because people correlate it with race.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with race. There are certifications for white people. There's certifications for Asians. There's certifications for Latins. There's women-owned, veteran-owned. Like there's a
certification
for everybody.
So it's power being different.
It's just different.
Yeah. And it's power wearing that.
And all you're doing is identifying what difference you are.
Yeah. So you're putting yourself in that correct class.
And the thing that I want to really drive home so people understand is that in 2024 in America, everybody's different.
Mm.
There is no, this is the majority. There is no majority
in
America.
Yeah, I see that.
You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I can see that.
And the reason I want to drive that home is that I'll have people that, a 35-year-old white guy, and he's like, oh, I can't do government contracting because I can't get a certification because I'm not a woman. Or I'm not black. And it's like, no, there's a certification for a 35-year-old white male. Mm. The problem is you don't know what it is because for 60 years, you only thought that and people have only told you that only minorities can get set aside.
Yeah.
And so that's why I try not to use the word minority and I really try to drive that point home.
Got you. So I got my CAGE code. I'm ready to go.
And you got your certifications.
I got my certifications, right? And I found exactly what certification worked for me.
Correct.
Now what's next?
Now what you're going to do is you're going to
How we get the money?
Now here's the fun part. Once you got all that, and to be honest with you,
yeah,
that part that we just talked about, that's where 50% of the people don't
drop off.
They drop off.
Yeah, yeah.
They just don't want to do it.
Gotcha.
Because in normal business, you don't have to. If you make it through that, now we get to the money. Next thing you got to do from there is you got to figure out who buys what you sell.
Gotcha. How do we do that?
So what you're going to do that is you're going to go on a website called usaspending.gov.
Okay, so sam.gov is the first website, and then usaspending.gov.
Yeah, so
they're buying the most simple, straight to the point domains, bro. That's like usaspending.gov.
It's like, what is the USA Spending?
Yeah.
Boom, there it is. That's the domain, right? Yeah. You go on usaspending.gov. When you created your business and you put it all in SAM, you created your NICE codes. So your North American Industry Classification, which are basically whatever it is that you do.
Yeah.
You're going to go on usaspending.gov. You're going to do an award search.
Yeah.
And you're going to put in your NICE codes. If you don't know what NICE codes you work under, you can do a keyword search and you can put in whatever it is that you do. Drop that keyword in, hit search, and you're going to get a list of every contract that was ever written for what it is that you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you figure that out, now you know who buys what you sell. And all you're going to do is, from there, market to those people. So you're going to call those agencies that already buy what you sell.
And they give you all the contact information. So now you're just hitting the call.
Because you got to remember, this is why I love government contractor. It's the government. Mm. It's all public information.
Facts.
See, it's not like doing business with a regular thing where it's like, if you come to my website for my regular business, on the contact us spot, I could have no phone number, no email address. Now you're figuring out, well, how do I contact Kevin? You have to be able to contact the United States government. Why? Because as a taxpayer, it's your money.
Gotcha.
So you can go on these public websites and figure out, okay, who's the small business coordinator? Who's the procurement person? What's their phone? And they have to give you that info.
So, okay, we got everything. We got the certs.
And now you know who buys
what we know sell. Who's going to buy what we're selling, right? How do we run up a bag? So that first 30 days, right, can we submit to multiple people that are buying the stuff? So you can submit to like 3 or 4 different parts of the government.
Much as you can handle.
Right? And then you put it out there. And are they paying out on the 30th? How does the payout work?
So depending on what type of stuff you go after, right, the payments are going to be different.
Yeah.
So if you do stuff like products, they're going to pay you as soon as they receive the product. If you're doing service contracts where you're on like monthly payments, they'll pay you every month. But nothing is going to be longer than that.
All right. So I know there's probably people still
on the fence,
not really getting it, right? Okay. So I want to give them like a crazy example. Is there anything that people wouldn't even think that the government would be paying for, like some type of wild product or service that you've experienced or seen? Maybe you're some of your clients.
I'll tell you one that blows people away in this day and age, especially in now that I'm in the online space. And
tampons.
Space. I mean, tampons is easy.
Really?
I've been on tampons last year.
That's great.
So I'm going to tell you where you sell tampons. So the Bureau of Prisons buys tampons every quarter for the female prisoners.
All right. So check it out. So So my girl can have a government contract and sell tampons to the government and then get paid. Mm-hmm. Clockwork. Guaranteed.
Yep.
All right, I guess I got to get a girlfriend now.
Yeah, right.
That's you know what I'm saying?
The one
I can get her money. Yeah. You just got to fill that seat.
The one I was going to tell you that blows people away now is social media.
Wait. What you mean?
So the government pays monthly for social media management.
What do you mean?
So.
Like what accounts are they managing?
They're managing their own. Every governmental agency now has a social media account.
So they're paying people.
But you got to remember, the government, they're not digital creators. They don't understand. So you can get a government contract right now. I'm telling you this, if you know how to make viral videos, well, I don't know whatever.
Wait, what camera is he looking
at? If you know how to make viral videos, there's a government contract out there for you right now. Because you know why? Because the Army wants to go viral. The Navy wants to go viral. Yeah,
you're right. Because no one is going to those spots to sign up.
See, it's a funny thing, right? You'll get this. Jay was joking, and we talked about it. We're both around the same age, right? And Jay was like, yeah, you guys are both old guys. So you guys get along. And I thought you had a good skincare regimen, but his is great. Yeah. He looks younger than you.
Yeah.
Right? So we were joking, but I say, when we were kids, right, we would go to the grocery store with our parents on the weekend. There would always be guys out there or in front of the mall with suits on. They'd be like, hey, brother, how you doing? Have you thought about what you're going to do after high school?
Yeah.
When's the last time you went to the mall or to the grocery store and you've seen a recruiter standing outside?
Yo, I remember being in the mall and they would literally be in front. They would have like their own little, you know, commercial space.
They don't do that no more.
Now those are vacant.
Vacant.
Yeah.
Why? because nobody goes to the mall.
Yeah.
Right? People shop online. So how does the Army recruit its new recruits?
They got to go online.
They got to go online because where are they at? They on TikTok. Yeah. They on Instagram. Yeah. They playing Fortnite. Yeah. They playing Madden.
Mm-hmm.
So the Army needs to create
things. They're on IG Threads.
So the Army has to create that. I did a live a couple weeks ago, and I had the Air Force's recruitment office on my live.
I did a masterclass a couple of months ago for a couple of Navy people that were stationed in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just teaching them how to launch a book, like how to create a digital product.
That's one of the craziest things that people don't even know about. I did a research on it. The Army has a social media management contract. And they pay somebody $96,000 a month.
Well, we're about to get that, bro. That's easy.
And all you have to do is post daily. You have to create the post. You have to post. And then you have to manage. So answer the DMs.
Bro, do you know I do that right now? I'm about to get that contract. Forget that. All right. I want to help some podcasters real quick. Okay. Right? Because, you know, there's a stigma. Well, it's not really a stigma. It's an actual real thing. The majority of podcasters don't know how to make money. They don't know how to monetize their media platform. And they think it's like Google AdSense, which is the YouTube money, you know, merch, and then the downloads and streams that they might get for like Apple or Spotify. Mm-hmm. Is there a government contract available or something in that range where a podcaster could tap into some of these government funds and teach media or how to launch a show or anything like that?
So I'm gonna give you like two different plays. The first play, yes.
Yeah, I want y'all to pay attention.
All right.
So I'm trying to give y'all some money.
I'm going to give you two plays. The first play is yes. So they do contracts for educating, right? The government's always doing contracts for educating of some sort. Digital education, they're doing a lot for because it's new.
Yeah.
Right? So yes, you can get money for that. The second one is I want you to take a second and look around this room. What do you see more of in here?
Cameras, mics.
That's a stop right there. Cameras, TVs, mics. You can sell those products to the government.
Crazy. So you could be like an affiliate and sell those products back to the government. So you could be the middleman, give them the Sony cameras, the Canon cameras.
And they're buying them every day of the week.
Crazy. Thank me, but really thank him because he's giving you a wild play. So even if you can't directly monetize your podcast, what I want you to think about is that you can have a government contract on the back end and the same equipment that you haven't figured out how to monetize for your own podcast, you can monetize it through a government contract.
Another one that's super simple, HDMI cords.
What do you mean?
They're buying. How many times have you lost the HDMI?
I mean, all the time.
So think about it. Somebody in the government, how many times they lose the HDMI?
So you can literally be a vendor to the government.
Selling HDMIs.
That's crazy. Yo, listen, y'all don't run this play. I don't know what's going on. I don't even want to call it a play. I know my guy B's called them sustainable strategists. We're going to call this a sustainable strategy.
Mm-hmm.
If you are unable to figure out how to make 5 to 10K, you definitely need to tap into the power of these government contracts. Is this money going away anytime soon?
It's only increasing. And I want to tell you one of the reasons why I started educating. Mm. People ask me, they're like, why would you start teaching this? You made money, you did all this. Why do you care? This is the reason I care and why I teach. So every year, the federal budget increases. It has to, right? If it does not increase, it'll go away. So every year, they have to spend more money because they know that inflation goes up.
Yeah.
So their budget has to increase to at least meet or beat inflation every year. But on the downside, every year, the number of certified small businesses has been decreasing. So it's great for small businesses like myself and my community in because now we're making more money. But at some point, the number of small businesses is going to go to zero. And so I'm passionate about getting as many people into this industry as I can, because if we let that number go to zero, there's no hope for it. We're literally, now we're financial slaves.
So it sounds like anyone that has a product or service, that has a business, they can have a division to do this. And I kind of say the same thing with media, because I feel like every business needs like a media department. But I really feel like now that, you know, you and I have the opportunity to have this conversation, that every business now needs a business that's going to sell products and services to the federal government.
Every large business does.
Yeah. I think it's just, they don't know.
They don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard when I was speaking and I brought up the example, but you take Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
When I say Jeff Bezos, what do you think?
Amazon.
Right?
Yeah.
And you think Jeff Bezos is a billionaire because of Amazon.
Yeah.
He's not. Jeff Bezos is a billionaire because—
That's like Elon Musk, same thing. Literally, yeah, because Tesla is a government contract, isn't it?
Tesla isn't, but SpaceX is.
Yeah, SpaceX, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you guys can Google this. Please check my facts when I say this. 2022, Amazon made $500 billion gross revenue. Mm. Do you know what their profit margin was? -2%.
They lost
$1 billion.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay?
In the same calendar year, AWS made $80 billion. Nobody cares, right?
Yeah.
But at a 40% profit margin. They made $32 billion in profit. Jeff Bezos is a billionaire because of his government contracting firm.
Bro, can you say that again? Yo, what camera should you look at? I want to make sure they really get
Jeff
this.
Jeff Bezos is a billionaire because of AWS, his government contracting firm. But because it's not sexy, like I said when I first started, what I do is not sexy.
Yeah. No. What you do? No. Wait. I would like to readdress what people deem as sexy.
Change the vernacular.
Yes.
Right? All right, go ahead.
Is sexy getting to the money or not?
Right. But
because
in 2023 in America,
yeah.
What we think is sexy is big numbers and stuff that people can see.
Yeah, facts.
So automatically,
girls
when
feel
people,
the same way, bro.
Yeah, when people hear Jeff Bezos, Amazon, why? Because they see Amazon.
Right? And they got Prime coming to their house.
And like, they're like, man, right now. Every time you drive them down the street, you see an Amazon truck. He loses money with Amazon. Mm-hmm. He lost $1 billion in 2022 with Amazon.
Yeah.
But he doesn't care. You know why? Because he made 32 with his government contracting firm. And so even if you just Google Jeff Bezos and his companies and you see Amazon $500 billion, AWS $80 billion, you're like, what is AWS?
Yeah.
But you don't understand that AWS works at a 40% margin.
100%, man. So,
is your revenue stuck? If you're an entrepreneur and your revenue is stuck, you don't need to fix your products or services. You need new audiences to discover you more consistently. Podcast guesting is the ideal way to be discovered 24 hours a day by your ideal clients. And guess what? The more people that know you, the more people can flow you. Head over to podcastmasterypack.com and take advantage of your first or next podcast. Let's go.
I'm just thinking about like people that I know. It's that are struggling with launching their business, that are looking for clients, that might be capped off, that might be in a job that they don't like. This is an opportunity for a lot of people.
It's an opportunity for a lot of people. There's a lot of, although it may seem as if the barrier to entry is high, it really isn't. Because once again, it's the government.
Yeah.
So everything has to be somewhat simple. And then there's agencies that are created to simplify it. There's the SBA, the Small Business Administration. Their job is to help small businesses, right? Then they have spinoffs. They have the Accelerator Program. They have the MBDA. They have all these different organizations that are set up to help small businesses get into government contracting. But it goes back to the education.
Yeah.
And so basically what we do at Government Cheese and why we created this platform is I wanted to create the sexy education.
Yeah.
Because although you can go to the SBA and the MBDA and the Accelerator Program, most people don't even know that they exist because I've got more followers than the SBA does.
Yeah.
Right?
Makes sense, yeah.
Which is crazy, right?
It's because the SBA ain't sexy.
Because the SBA ain't sexy.
They ain't making popping off TikToks because y'all don't got the government contract to help them make popping off TikToks.
So if I can create the sexy and say, okay, now that I got y'all attention, go to the SBA. Because what do they also have? They have grants. They have loans. They have all this assistance to help you grow a small business.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, how long have we been going, Tim?
28 minutes.
28 minutes, all this fire.
When I go.
28 minutes and all this fire.
So you
shared a lot of the positives, right? And you made it seem very attainable, very doable, right? Extremely easy to understand and put yourself in position. But what about the people that are skeptical? What about the people that feel like it can't happen for them? What about the people who feel like this, that 2 hours that was going to take or the 30 days to get right, waiting for the cage, for them it's going to be 6 months. What's the downside to this whole government cheese and government contracting situation?
To be honest with you, there's no downside. But the biggest problem that people have is themselves.
Mm.
See, the biggest problem with government contracting is that because it's not familiar to most people, they just don't want to do it. Everybody wants to do what's easy, what they're familiar with, what they know somebody else that's doing that they have success with. Like most people can't correlate themselves to someone who's done government contracting that's had success.
Yeah.
So therefore, they don't think the success is attainable for them. Now, if we were to have this discussion and we were in Bethesda, Maryland, everybody in the restaurant or in the room would be like, oh, yeah, government contracts is it.
Yeah.
Why? Because in the DMV, it's been going on for forever.
Yeah.
But it's just been in the DMV. But if you start to go outside of that, it's not a common thing. So that's one of the things. But as far as downsides, I mean, it's just like any business.
Yeah.
There's going to be downsides to every business. You're going to have clients that, you know, I have some agencies and cities and counties and states that I work for that I just don't like working for. The same way you're going to have a bad customer in business, you have a bad customer in the government.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
So it's like the same way you're going to have a bad job or, you know, a bad project, you'll have a bad project. So to me, honestly, from a business perspective, there's no difference.
Mm.
To me, it's easy. I tell people, I have the best career because it affords me an amazing life. I work 7 to 4, Monday to Friday. I'm off on holidays and I'm off on weekends. My phone don't ring past 12 o'clock on a Friday. On 4th of July, it was amazing.
Yeah.
4th of July was on a Tuesday this year. So literally from Friday to Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. You was chilling.
I was chilling.
Yeah.
I'm able to spend time with my family. I'm able to do stuff with my kids, my wife. I coach my son's football team now because at 6:30 every night, my phone is not ringing.
Yeah.
So I can focus on doing it. I can be normal. How many entrepreneurs do you know that can be normal?
I cannot attest to that.
Right. And because that's the thing. But and then the problem, but not problem, I don't want you guys to think this is a bad thing, but like we've got the hustle mentality.
Yeah.
The hustle culture is big. Like now you got to hustle. You got to hustle. You got to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You got to stay up till midnight. You got to go. You got to work 100 hours a week. No, you don't.
Yeah, no, you don't. You don't have to do that.
You don't have to do
unless
that.
You like doing that. I mean,
and if you like it, it's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, you're right.
I do it.
Yeah.
But it's because of how I'm wired.
And it's choice.
But it's a choice.
Yes.
So now when I do it, so if I wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm waking up, I'm taking my time, I'm doing the things that I want to do.
Yeah, same.
Feel me?
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm waking up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm stuck on a computer trying to figure out how to get a dollar.
Yeah, facts.
So it's just a different lifestyle. And it is, to me, it is for everybody. I haven't met a person that's come into my community that can't do it.
Now, it seems like very realistically,
yeah,
that if you have a business, there's probably a government contract available for you
100%
to make some more money.
And I all the time, or anytime I'm on any platform, I always challenge people, like, if you think that what you do can't, just send it to me and let me go
take a look.
Let me see. But I haven't found an industry yet that the government doesn't buy.
And well, listen.
It's crazy.
We about to lock up that social media contract.
Those are crazy.
About to get some of these podcast educational contracts. And I guess your boy's going to be selling ACMI courts.
The social media one, people don't understand it, but it's growing.
Wait. And to clarify, you did say $96,000 a month.
For the Army. But once again, that's the Army. That's one of the largest.
But it's still $96,000
a month.
So you can do $100,000 a month with the government just on that one contract.
And that was just for Facebook.
And to be realistic.
Well, Meta. So it was all of the Meta
platforms. So if you have, okay. So let's say you have that contract. How many accounts are you managing? I want to kind of give people like a.
Just the Army.
So just the one.
Just the Army across all Meta platforms.
Got you. Yeah, that makes sense.
But I'll tell you one of the best ones, and I'm currently researching what they're going for. And the stuff I found so far, they're in the mid-teens, like $10,000 to $15,000 a month.
Mm.
Quick example for all you guys, I want you to think about. You'll get it. Some of the younger generation won't. But back in the day, we used to have payphones.
Yeah.
So when you travel.
They're like, what's that?
Yeah, right. So when you travel, say you were to travel abroad as a 19, 20-year-old kid and you wanted to go to Europe for a week. There were no cell phones,
mm-hmm.
right? The internet really wasn't a thing, especially in other countries, right? You know, America and the internet blew up first, but other countries, the internet took a while.
Yeah.
So if you had to communicate with America or someone back here, you had to find it somewhere with a payphone. You had to get one of those AT&T calling cards, the long distance cards. You had to punch the numbers in, and that's how you communicated. So now close your eyes and imagine if you're a 19-year-old kid and you get lost in Europe during the summer. Back in the day, you would have to figure out how to get help.
Yeah.
Now, what does every 19-year-old kid have?
Cell phone. Yeah.
If you go on Instagram right now and you type in U.S. Embassy on Instagram, you'll get the list of every U.S. Embassy in the entire world. So if I'm a 19-year-old kid and I get lost in Uganda, I pull out my phone, I type in U.S. Embassy, Uganda. I click on there. I send a DM. Hey, I'm a United States citizen. I'm lost here in Uganda. This is my location. Here's a picture. Please help. Within 20 minutes, you'll have the embassy right there picking you up. It's necessary. So they have to have it because it's how they communicate with the people.
That's crazy. Yeah. And that's 10 to 15K a month.
A month.
That's easy, man. That's 100. That's six figures. Man, you helping a lot of people right now.
I try.
So how are we getting your message out there? So I know you're doing an education. I mean, you just rocked the stage. What has been your most consistent means or how you plan on sharing this message and getting the message out to more people? How can people get involved?
Yeah, it's tough right now. Cause I always say it's not sexy, but it's just tough to get people to.
We should make it sexy. How we make it sexy, bro?
Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
We gotta turn up yours.
Nah, I can't.
We gotta turn up your social media.
I'm just not that guy. I'm just chill.
But you are though, because I've been on your page.
Yeah,
you're consistent.
Yeah, no.
You just have to change. Well, I wouldn't even say change. I would just say upgrade the editing, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Throwing some cuts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Stuff to it.
Have you walking in and out of some places? Just make it more dynamic. That's all. You know what I'm saying? Because sexy is all presentation.
Yeah, it's all you put it out.
It's all put out there.
Yeah, but I'm on most social media platforms. So Instagram, Facebook, Threads, of course, now, and TikTok and YouTube. So I'm just growing all the socials, just trying to get.
Are you going crazy on YouTube right now?
I just started my YouTube about 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay. You got to go crazy on
YouTube. So what I'm doing on YouTube now is I'm trying to put out more content.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it sounds corny, but this is so true. When I created Government Cheese and I started doing all this, it really wasn't for money. So I don't have a bunch of products that people can buy. I don't have all that stuff. I got a course and then I do my in-person boot camp.
How much is a course?
Course is $997.
$1,000.
$1,000 course comes with the self-guided module-based course.
Yeah.
Comes with a private Facebook group. And then we do bi-weekly group coaching.
How much is a boot camp?
Boot camps, I do once a quarter and they're $3,500 and you get the course.
And that's in person?
And that's in person.
So you do a $3,500 boot camp in person. Mm-hmm. How many days?
2 days.
The one in Houston that's coming up, which we're going to talk about.
Yep.
$3,500. I get the course anyway.
Yep.
But I get to hang out with you for 2 days. Mm-hmm. What's happening in these 2 days?
We basically go through everything. So basically what I try to do is take the course and go through it in theory, but really we start to dive in and then I try to personalize it. So I limit my boot camps to 30 people. So never more than 30 people in the boot camp. And I do that so that I'm able to spend time with each person and we're able to put together a game plan for every person.
That's
no matter
fire.
What their business is, their industry, their background. We just run down it all, man. So, answer every question.
So 30 people. In the 2 day in person, you doing that every quarter.
Yep.
You got Houston coming up.
Yep.
So let's talk about Houston really quick.
Yeah.
What is that going to look like? What's the dates and all of that?
Houston is July 29th and 30th.
Okay.
So
that's coming up.
Yeah, it's like this one.
All right. So what's the next one?
So the next one after that. So I was going to do one in fourth quarter, but I think I'm going to chill the fourth quarter and reboot.
Okay.
So I'm not going to do one in fourth quarter. So the next one is going to be, probably January or February, and it'll be back in Vegas.
You might have to, yeah, man, that sounds. Have you done a retreat?
That so, funny to say. So I'm actually doing an advanced class for my current community.
Yeah.
December. So December 2nd and 3rd in Tampa.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's good. That's fire, but we need a destination. We need to go to PR, DR, we go to Columbia.
I'm working on
Bahamas.
I'm working on something now.
Turks and Caicos?
I'm trying to structure it.
Yeah.
So everything with me is I try to provide value, but I have a problem where I give too much value.
That's not a problem.
Right?
I mean, you might have to like correlate the prices to
make, right.
Yeah. But the value in the product, I can tell you are, I mean, you dripping with the value.
Yeah. I give away too much value. So it's figuring out a way to be able to provide the value at a decent price point, because I never want to crack people across the head for the because it's not worth it. Because the way I feel with the product and what we have to offer and the knowledge that we can give people, if I can just show it to you and you spend a couple dollars to learn it, when you start making money, like you could just look out for me then.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not trying to kill you. And I say that and I want you guys to be clear and understand. I don't do like partnership agreements with students and things like that. I don't.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not locking people in to get money to contract. When I say that, all I mean is like, I'm going to show you love and I'm going to put you in the game.
Mm.
All I ask is that A, you do the same for somebody else.
Yeah.
And then if you want to take me to dinner, cool, take me to dinner or something like that.
Make some content.
Yeah.
Got to get you lit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. So July 29th and 30th.
Yeah.
So this is potentially the last time that they can take advantage of the in-person this year. It's going to be in Houston. And then what's that site? The reason why I'm asking is, so maybe there's a text number. If they wanted to get information about the next one, how do they get that information?
So www.thegovernmentcheese.org.
Okay.
So you go on thegovernmentcheese.org, go on the store, and then you're able to see whatever upcoming events that we have. So that's going to be pretty dope. The Houston one's going to be great. The advanced one is going to be crazy,
yeah.
But I'm doing the advanced kind of like invite only.
Okay.
Cause I really want to go high level and I don't want to have too many beginners and I go over their head.
You got you. So the advanced more so for your current mentees.
Current people that are in the program.
Okay. Got you. And that, is that still the same $3,500 price range for them?
Yep.
Cool. So they're just going to be able to, it's kind of like an accelerator.
Correct.
Mastermind in one.
Correct. In one. Correct.
Got you.
Yep.
Got you. Now that's going to be crazy. So, $997. Get access to the course and you're in the community. Is that a lifetime?
That's lifetime.
That's lifetime.
No reoccurrence, no 6 month access. Then you got to buy back in.
Yep.
One time you pay, you're in, that's it.
You got an affiliate.
Yeah.
So if you're a podcaster, how much is your affiliate?
20%.
Man, I'm helping y'all out. I'm getting y'all government contracts and I'm giving you an opportunity to make some additional money by helping other podcasts or other people that are watching your podcast and your community. So they can remarket your product. And this is something that I've been telling people. So they can remarket the product that you already have done, that you already have a fulfillment already done and the deliverables already done, right? You're already selling it. They don't have to sell it. They don't have to fulfill it, right? And they don't have to do any of work other than repost some assets, possibly in a podcast, or just put a link in there. And if somebody decides they want to buy the 997 course, they're going to get 20%. That's $200. So if they move five of those in a month, it's $1,000. Crazy.
And I don't mind because, like I said, for me, it's just getting the information out there.
Yeah. So essentially, you can listen to this right now, invest in 997, get five people that also purchase it, and you get it for free. Or you could just upgrade and just pre-buy, you know what I'm saying, the opportunity to do one of the retreats or potentially the advanced class and get that for free, but you done helped a bunch of people.
No.
That's crazy, man. You're giving away a lot of value right now. And you're showing people how they cannot have to worry about, missing a check or being check to check. Like, this can really help people with saving, investing, cleaning up debt, paying for college, paying for their mortgage, having some money for the family. Like that's what I'm thinking about. It sounds like it's solving a lot of potential financial problems.
It's a passion for me because I was blessed enough to survive the recession in 2008, right? Because I found government contracting. We're going through tough financial times in this country now. And I know what it did for me and how it saved my life.
Yeah.
So I want to get the education out there. So hopefully somebody can get positioned. So when this next economic downturn happens that we're kind of already in, they don't have to struggle. Because when you can't sell certain products to consumers because nobody has money, what are you going to do? Who are you going to sell your product to?
Yeah.
The government's still buying. COVID was one of my best years as a business and my actual business. Because when the country shut down and the world shut down and people were stuck in their house, what were they doing? My personal business is an underground utility. So I'm in water and sewer.
Yeah.
When COVID hit and everybody was trapped in their house, they was brushing their teeth more, taking a shower more, using the bathroom more. And the cities had to leave all of their employees at home.
That's a fact.
So what were they doing? They were calling all the contractors. Yeah. Hey, you got to come do this. You got to come do this. You got to, because what? Remember what I told you? Why do they hire contractors? Liability.
Yeah.
During COVID, if they would have had city employees doing the jobs and somebody got sick,
it would have been a lot of liability.
They call, hey, I got COVID. I'm sick. I'm suing the city.
Yeah.
The minute I showed up to work, I had to sign a paper that say I waive all liability for me and all my employees.
That makes sense.
But on the flip side, hey, I'm going to sign this paper, but now we need hazard pay. So now if I was going to go do a job and it was $10,000, you got to give me $60,000.
Yeah.
And then I tell my guys, hey, they're making us sign these papers for hazard pay. So you guys was making $25 an hour. Now you're making $150 an hour.
Mm.
Everybody eat.
All right, man. So we're going to transition a little bit because you've just been giving away so much government cheese value. I hope you guys take advantage of this opportunity. You know, we'll put the information below so you can grab this program, jump into the community, and just put yourself in position. There's probably a product or service that you have available that, you know, there is a government contract available for it. And all we need to do is put you in position so you can find it and then put it out there, right? So, you know, you look like someone that is, you know, focused, determined, you know, you want to help people. But, you know, I want to ask you a couple of questions just about you. Like, so how do you pour into yourself? You know, what are some of the things that keep you motivated, you know, keep you charged up? What do you have to do? Because you're touching a lot of people, right? You got a community, you got family, you got a wife, got kids. But at the same time, you're helping everyone that's in government cheese, you know, get to the government cheese, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you keep yourself motivated and full?
Yeah, so I just know that there's a purpose for me to be here, right? And so I know that now my purpose is to help and to provide. And so the only way that I can fulfill my purpose is I have to be the best version of myself. So that's physically, mentally, spiritually. I have to make sure that I keep myself on point at all times so that I can live in my truth and I can live my purpose. So that means, you know, physically I'm going to the gym every day. You know what I'm saying? I make sure that my diet is always somewhat halfway decent. You feel me? Like somewhat halfway decent. So I'm able to actually live my truth and live my purpose. Right. So, mentally I'm taking care of myself. I go to therapy once a week, you know what I'm saying? Trying to work on myself. Cause especially within the minority community and as males, mental health is not talked about. Yeah. That's like a shady no-no, but the reality is we all struggle. We all go through things. Right. And so I do that. And then on the spiritual side, I'm close to God. I'm all about everything. So I just try to keep myself on point at all times as much as I can so that I can really share and be the best version of myself.
Are you reading any books right now?
Right now I'm reading Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People.
Yeah, that's good.
Highly
yeah.
Effective People.
Yeah.
I'm reading Man's True Purpose. Those are the two that I'm working on right now.
So if you were going to, you know, maybe create a academy, right? And it was three or four principles that the students at your academy, you know, they needed to graduate with. They can't leave the academy. They can't graduate without these principles instilled. What would those three or four principles be?
Yeah. So you got integrity. You know what I'm saying? So like, you got to just be honorable and move with intent and integrity in everything that you do, right? So everything that you do and who you are is based on that off top. Right. Then from there, I would say, build some sort of strength.
Hmm.
And now strength is not what everybody would think. When I think strength, I don't think like brute strength, like being big. I think just toughness and wherewithal. Cause especially if you're going to be in entrepreneurship or anything, the world is cold. It's tough. You got to be strong. You got to be able to take the things that come at you. If you can't take the things that come at you, you're going to fall off. And so you got to have that strength. And then humility.
Mm.
Right. So like, you always got to be willing to learn. You always got to be a student. So if you're always willing to receive some sort of information, you can grow. The minute you feel like, oh, I don't need that. I'm straight. When you cut everything off, you're going to start losing. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, those are good ones. I would definitely agree with everything that you said right there, especially if you feel like I already got it down. I don't need to learn this. If you have that, you stop growing 100%, like immediately. You got to be coachable. You got to be flexible. Got to be pliable. You have to understand that there's always a different area in which you can grow and evolve.
If you have integrity, right, and you have humility, it's going to help you throughout your whole life because then you're only going to surround yourself around similar individuals.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest things is like, especially nowadays, is who you surround yourself around. Like you always hear the phrase like, oh, your network is your network. And that's cool, but you're talking financial. But you also got to look spiritually. You also got to look mentally. You got to look at physically. So like financial health and financial success is only one part of true growth and success.
Mm.
And to me, honestly, that's the last part. You got to surround yourself around people that like you touched on earlier when we were talking off camera, like being a vegan. Yeah. I heard you say that, right? Yeah. So it's like, you got to be around people that are on the same thing as you. Like, if you're vegan and I go to the day in the butcher shop every 2 days, me and you can't really be cool. We could do stuff, but we really ain't aligned.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how can we truly effectively grow? You might have some dope stuff in your head. I might have some dope stuff in my head, but we're not aligned, right? So you want to align yourself with the people that have the same core values as you. And so some of those, like I said, integrity, you know what I'm saying, which is the honesty and then humility. If you put yourself around people that have those same core values, you can truly start to elevate. And then when you're in this entrepreneurial space, you need that. You need a group. You can't do it alone. And if you think you can, you're crazy.
Yeah, not that. That's a fact. That's a fact. So looking 10 years back, what's one thing you would say to your younger self? And then looking 10 years into the future, what's something you got for your future self?
So if I said anything to my younger self.
Because, I mean, your younger self wasn't that young.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I know where you was at.
Yeah, right. So honestly, if I was to go, so I'm 41 now.
Yeah.
If I was to go back to 31, right, it would just be, it would kind of be the humility part of it. But then
like
also,
have more humility?
Have more humility and then also kind of the strength. Because at that age, once you start getting success, you think that nothing can stop you. And then when you think that nothing can stop you, you stop learning because you're like, I'm good. I'm straight. I got this. I got this. I'm moving. And then you kind of shut down the learning and then that shuts down the other opportunities.
Yeah.
So at 31 or, you know, 28, I wish I would have learned more about how to diversify myself financially, right? So like if I would have bought more real estate and held as opposed to buying and flipping, if I would have understood how to look at community redevelopment plans and understand the community master plans of what they're going to do to a city in 20 years and then buy property strategically within those areas. If I would have done that 20 years
that's
ago,
a good one.
It's little things like that that I know now at 41 that I ain't know at 31.
Definitely.
You know, so like now I'm buying property here in Florida. I'm not buying it in Tampa. I'm buying it at Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm buying it in all these other places. Or I'm here in Miami. I'm not buying it in Miami. I might buy like up here more Fort Lauderdale area, Boynton, Delray.
Yeah.
Because I'm understanding how this thing
how it's shifting.
How it's shifting. Yeah. So that's some of the stuff. Now if we go in the future, I don't know. I'm not much on, I know it's going to sound crazy, but I'm not much on planning in the future because I'm so much in trying to maximize
the now.
The now.
Yeah.
Like I have.
I mean, that's a good one. You can tell your future self to maximize the now.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I have visions and things that I want to do in the future. And I know where I want to position myself and how I want to, where I want to be. But my biggest problem, and it's not a problem, but is if I set a goal for myself and say, okay, I want to get here in 5 years, I'm going to get there in 2.
Yeah. See, back another goal.
Yeah, because I'm going to maximize each day to get there as fast as I can.
I like that.
So that's what I would say.
Right, man, this has been a pleasure. It's been a gift. I feel like you provided so much value for everyone that's watching this, listen to this in real time. I got a lot of game. You helped me just think about how I can add more cash flow to my personal business. I know you probably did the same thing for you guys as well. So I want to encourage you to look into, joining the community. And then also, if it makes sense for you to join one of the 2-day events, because, I mean, obviously Houston's coming up, but as you're seeing, this is probably over, but he has another one coming up, right? You got you got the one coming up in Vegas.
Vegas is going to be top of the year.
That's going to be top of the year. And you got the events at the end of this year. So let them know again how they can tap in with you, learn some information, social media, YouTube, and all that, and obviously the domain or if you got a text number.
Yeah, so website is www.thegovernmentcheese.org, so you can get all the products there. Socials is going to be where you can get the most contact, so Government Cheese on everything, so GOV_cheese on IG, and then please, that's all.
Is it GOV underscore?
Yep,
GOV. Okay, so no T.
No, no. Okay. GOV_cheese. So GovCheese. GOV_cheese. I tell everybody, go to the YouTube, because what I try to do with YouTube is I try to give you all the free info.
Yeah.
Before you ever spend a dime with me, I want you to learn as much for free as you can. because I don't want you to spend no money and then you'd be like, oh, this ain't really it for me. Go to the YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube, watch all the YouTube videos, learn everything for free. And then if you feel like it's something you want to do, then let's talk.
Yeah, man, this has been great. Make sure you guys subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like you said, dive deep into the free content. Follow him on all social media platforms. Go to the governmentcheese.gov.
.org.
.org. That's right. Governmentcheese.org. And register for one of the products if you're interested. This has been another episode of the Honor Pursuit podcast. This has been great, man. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you, my brother.
And I got one more thing I got to share. If you're in a relationship with someone and they got some free time, or maybe you got, maybe you're the one with the free time, y'all need to get with Kevin and figure this out. And everyone should have a government contract and do business with the government, especially if you're in a relationship or a partnership, situationship, husband, wife, whatever.
Last one.
Like there's some opportunity here.
Last one that I'll leave you with to piggyback off that. Also, guys, if you have a family member that is a veteran, father, mother, aunt, uncle, get with them and help them start their business. There is a lot of money out there for veteran-owned small businesses.
That's a good one, man. And the reason why I say that is because I feel like, at least with the homeless, you see a lot of homeless veterans.
It kills me.
Me as well. And you know, not to, there's a whole nother podcast problem. You know what I'm saying? But I gotta say this. You know, the veterans, they'll go and they'll risk their whole life in a whole nother country, fight for wars, for our civil liberties and for our freedoms and stuff like that. They come back and it's tough for them to get a job. It's sometimes tough for them to get a place to live. And a lot of them are part of our a large percentage of our homeless population.
You know the sad part?
Yeah.
Is that there's literally programs out there to stop all of that, but there's no education.
But that's what I was going to say. Man, this
is... So that's why I say you guys, if you're out there...
And that's the whole job. That's a whole offer. That's a whole offer. Helping just getting an education now so they know where they can go to get out of those situations or prevent themselves from being in a situation.
So if you got one in your family, if you got a vet in your family, like ask them, talk to them, be like, hey, you know about government contracting? Because the VA, the Veterans Administration, they have a mandate to set aside and sole source work to veterans and service-disabled veteran-owned companies.
Hmm.
There's only 12,000 service-disabled veteran-owned companies in the country.
That's it? That's crazy. All right, y'all know what you should do. Share this episode, download it, like share it with four or five people literally right now. There's been so much game on here. Like I said, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to Kevin's YouTube channel, and get all of your government cheese. We out.